At 376 years old, the Boston Common is the oldest public park in the country. And it's starting to look its age. You would, too, if more than a million pairs of feet trampled on your face every year. Last year alone, 700 public events happened on the Common. And while just about everyone agrees that's a good thing, money to keep up maintenance is increasingly scarce. In fact, public spaces around the country are becoming more dependent on private money for help. So there's a proposal in the works to sell corporate sponsorships on the Boston Common in exchange for repairs and improvements. Critics of that idea say the Common is a public space that should remain public in every respect. But Henry Lee doesn't see it that way. He heads the nonprofit Friends of the Public Garden, which recently hired a New York consultant to explore private revenue streams for the Common. Lee is an old-school Boston Brahmin who's been propping up the Common with his effort and his friends' money for decades. But he's starting to see the limits of that old way of doing things. When I spoke with Henry Lee earlier, I asked him, when you look out the window from your home on Beacon Street, what do you see on the Boston Common that needs improving?
Almost everything. There are really two sets of needs in the Common. One is the structure, furniture, benches, trash cans, the trees, the grass, the paths, the little areas, the fountains, fencing. Almost all aspects of the park need attention. If you lie down in the Common on the grass, it's just like lying on cement. I would challenge anybody to go out with a trowel and dig a hole.
So because the Friends of the Public Garden think the Boston Common has fallen into disrepair, the group is now working with a consultant who revived Bryant Park in New York City by bringing in major corporate sponsors like Google and Southwest Airlines. What do you think Bryant Park has done with private funding that you think could be a model for the Boston Common?
Yeah. Well, first of all, one should not make a comparison between the Common and Bryant Park. They're entirely different animals. However, Dan Biederman's enormous success in reviving the park.
Dan Biederman is the consultant that you are working with.
Is the consultant we've engaged. And he is the president of Bryant Park and is the pretty well responsible for its credible recovery from a drug haven to an enormously popular green space in New York City. And his ability to obtain funding from various sources attracted us, made us think that he could help us do much the same thing for the Common, but in quite a different way.
So if you don't want Biederman to do on the Boston Common exactly what he did at Bryant Park, what would you want him to help you do?
Two things we're looking for. One is, in the case of events and programs, to find some sponsors for them. For example, the holiday lighting costs $100,000. The Parks Department does not have that amount of money to invest in lights this year. If we could find an angel who would provide this enormous benefit and pleasure for the public, I think this would be a very good thing. The other thing is actual improvements and programs of a more long-term nature. We would like to see, for example, chess tables. We would like to have movable tables and chairs by the Brewer Fountain when we restore that area. We would like to see possibly a library where people could read. There are all sorts of improvements that could be made. Millennium Partners, which developed the new Ritz on Avery Street, they gave $2 million for the fencing and irrigation along Tremont Street. And I haven't seen any sign of their taking over, and I haven't seen any big signs of boasting about their contribution.
So you think more corporate and private money could be injected into the Boston Common without it looking crass or commercial? It could be done tastefully.
Well, that's what we're working for, and that's the only scenario that we would approve. And so far, it's been slow going, to tell the truth.
That was Henry Lee, president of the Friends of the Public Garden. We went out to the Boston Common on a recent afternoon to find out what visitors think of the idea of selling corporate sponsorships to help fund the park. The first person we came across was Patrick Lamont, who gives historical tours of Boston.
Now, on Friday, that was the day they would assemble on the Common for the weekly public entertainment. Well, they would gather on that small rise over there by the great elm tree for the weekly whippings, floggings, and hangings.
We asked Lamont and a few other folks what they think of asking businesses to help fund the Boston Common's upkeep in exchange for a little promotional space.
It is the oldest city park in America, and from its beginning, it was designed to be for everyone in Boston. I am worried that people who would be buying sections of it to brand it would think it was their land and not the people's land.
My name is Eric Brown. I live in Quincy. I mean, yeah, I'm all for it. That's a good thing if it's going to keep the park running and it's going to clean it, upgrade it. It'd probably bring more tourist attraction.
My name's Gail Schmidt. I'm from Brisbane in Australia. I think that's quite a good idea. If they need their support and the money, that's a good way to get it. As long as it doesn't change the look of the bench or whatever it is you're writing on, I think it's probably a reasonable way of making money if you can't get it any other way.
We don't really need McDonald's signs on the benches or whatever. It's a beautiful park. It's not a billboard. The Common is not a billboard. My name's Rob McIntyre. Everyone calls me Rob the Fried Dough Guy, and I sell fried dough to all the interesting people that walk through the Freedom Trail in the Boston Common.
My name is Dan Arsenault. I live in Arlington, Massachusetts. I come in here all the time. I think it would make the park seem more like an amusement park. And I don't really think there's a reason to do that. The city has plenty of money already.
Listeners, where do you come down on this? Would you mind seeing corporate sponsorships on benches and flower beds and lampposts and other places in the Boston Common? Or does the idea of any corporate sponsorships turn you off? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. To talk about the future of the Boston Common and all of the struggling public spaces in Boston, we're joined in the studio by Boston City Council President Mike Ross. Thanks for coming in, Mike.
Glad to be here.
Also in the studio is Shirley Kressel. She's an architect, a columnist for the South End News, and co-founder of the Alliance for Boston Neighborhoods. Welcome to Radio Boston, Shirley.
Thank you.
Mike Ross, as I understand it, you basically stirred up this issue quite a bit when you chaired a committee that made some recommendations about corporate sponsorships on the Common. And now the Friends of the Public Garden is considering those ideas. Would you tell me what some of those committee's recommendations were?
Sure. We went to, first of all, to New York to look at their parks because of a real bad year in Boston. 2007, there was, you may recall, a bullet shot into the governor's window from across the Common. There were two public overdoses that were actually photographed on the front page of the Boston Herald.
I remember.
So it was a bad year for the Common. We went to New York in search of ideas, and what we saw in their parks were vibrant parks with people, with restaurants, with yoga classes, with libraries, some of the things that Henry Lee was talking about in your opening segment. And we brought back those ideas. One of the things they do well in New York is they thank people for supporting their park. Now, I think it's a false choice to say, do you want Walt Disney World or continued deterioration of your park? I think there is certainly a happy medium, and I am concerned, I would be concerned, if the park were to become overly commercialized. We don't want that. We have safeguards in place. But there is a way to tastefully do it, and in fact, we've been doing it for our entire history as a city in Boston.
Mike Ross, when you say that Bryant Park in New York thanks people, thanks businesses for the support they give, you mean with some kind of public presence, some kind of public sign that says, thank you for the money you gave to support this park?
Exactly. It wouldn't be a billboard. It would be a very small, you know, 1 inch by, you know, whatever, engraved tastefully and say, you know, thank you to so-and-so for doing that. In fact, if you go to the Common today, and I have some pictures I'm going to give you, there are dozens of examples of that all over the park. Thank you for this tree in memory of this person, in memory of that person. That's all we're talking
about. Modest little signs.
And I don't think anyone would ever support anything more.
Mike Ross, since those committee recommendations were made, there has been some activity possibly heading towards that. This summer, for example, the state passed a law that would let Boston license a restaurant on the Common. This would go in what's now an abandoned men's restroom. Is the idea of that somehow that restaurant would bring in revenue for the Common, or would it just bring life to the Common after hours and keep away people shooting up, for example?
I think at a minimum it's going to bring life. And depending on how successful that entity is, it could potentially bring revenue. I hope it brings both, and I'm really excited about that restaurant on the Common. I think it will bring what we need to the Common.
Briefly, is the restaurant a done deal, or is that something still being worked out?
There's an RFP on the street as we speak, and people are responding.
Shirley Kressel, you're also with us. You have been vocally opposed to the idea of bringing pretty much any kind of private funding to the Common in the form of corporate sponsorships. Why? Why do you oppose that?
We don't need it. It's why get on the slippery slope of privatization? It always starts with tasteful plaques. Now, if you go to the MBTA stations, for example, they have a station cap. What do you call it? Station capture, where they just hang the, you know, hang the whole thing with billboards and pave the floors with it. So eventually, you know, people don't. It's not true that the plaque is really the thanks. The thanks comes in ways that citizens don't see. These things are going to cost us a lot more in favors to these donors than we will ever know. And the fact is that we don't need help. We don't need this private contribution.
Do you say that because you don't think the park needs it, or you don't think you think there's money from other sources?
Yes, we have the money. And in fact, just last week, last Tuesday, WBUR posted an announcement that the city closed the fiscal year with a $9 million surplus. Closed the year, $9 million surplus. And you remember all the woe crying last year. The mayor was going to shut the place down. So I actually called Henry Lee. I spoke to him just before I came here. And I said, Henry, are you aware, because Henry and I talk about these things all the time, are you aware that there's a $9 million surplus? And he said, yes. And I asked, well, why have you gone to the mayor and said, okay, we would like that surplus? I asked him, how much of that $9 million would you need to do all the things in the common that you're saying that you hired Dan Biederman to help us scrounge up private contributions for? And he said, oh, about half.
Shirley
Creswell. So we could get everything we need in the common, and we could keep all the libraries open, which only take $3 million, without anybody needing to beg anybody for anything.
So I imagine that the city's argument might be there are many competing needs, and the
well,
park may not
is
be
one
the top.
Of them. So, but since, I haven't heard anybody ask for anything.
Well, since we have City Councilor President Mike Ross here, I don't even have to imagine what the city might say. Mm-hmm. We can ask. Mike, what might the city's response to that be?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a $2.4 billion budget. So to have $9 million surplus at the end of the year is perfectly reasonable in keeping with any large enterprise.
But there it is. What would you do with it?
But nonetheless, you know, the segment that was just on the show before was about this tragic incident about this 2-year-old boy who's been buried today. And I think there are many competing interests in our city that when we have a park like the Common where there is interest, where there are people who want to support it, we should accept that support. There's a lady every morning in the summer who comes out into the public garden and quietly plants roses. She's been doing it for decades. She's a wonderful person. Should we tell her that we don't want her to volunteer on the Common as well, Shirley?
You know, these are really irrelevant arguments. You know, tragedies elsewhere, ladies planting flowers. There is money in the budget to do what we need to do in our public spaces. And that's the truth. And you as a city councilor should be leaping on this instead of making excuses
for it. We should expect something from our citizens and from our corporate citizens as well. They should help us as well.
They should pay taxes.
Shirley and Mike,
corporate citizens should pay taxes.
We have many callers who want to weigh in. So let's bring some of them in and then we can hear what they have to say. One of them is Alice from Cambridge. Alice, what do you think about the idea of corporate sponsorships in Boston Common?
I'm not comfortable with it. I've been in the Boston area for 25 years, and it makes me very uncomfortable in public spaces because I agree with one of your panelists that it would turn more advertising in all our public areas, including what's happening in the T and other areas. And I would hate that for my children.
Alice, thank you for that. And Alice, before I have Shirley Creswell and Mike Ross comment on your comment, let me go immediately to someone else who has an opposing view so we have two different views on the table. And this is Jay from Quincy. Jay, I understand you're a parks commissioner.
Yes, I'm on a board of 8 different people that have volunteered as parks commissioners. And we work with the director of the Parks and Recs to oversee funding and various projects throughout the city of Quincy, which has many of its own historical sites and parks. We have 27 baseball diamonds that need maintenance. And so I know it's a slippery slope, but at a time of need when there is, the councilor is right, with many competing interests for money, you take what you can get and you control it the best you can, and you hope that you did the right thing and when it comes out the end. So I am not opposed, and we are meeting in a subcommittee sometime next week informally to review some of these thoughts, fee schedules. One diamond alone has 287 baseball games on it.
So a lot of wear and tear.
Yes,
Jay,
and we have taken a 10% cut, or about $160,000 to the budget, and we're five individuals down, and the state stopped the funding of the summer children's programs, which is 40 kids over the last 2 years, 40 apiece, that do the weed whacking and the trimming and all the lining.
So the money's got to come from somewhere else. Jay, thank you for that. Shirley Kressel, so we just heard two views. Is there any scenario in which you think some modest, tasteful corporate sponsorship or funding, private funding, could come into the park and be controlled in a tasteful way?
I really don't understand why we're struggling with the tastefulness of tribute plaques to corporations when we have the money to do what we need. Now, the gentleman who called from Quincy, they've had state cutbacks. We're having the same problem with the state. The problem is that our political officials are cutting back the budgets. They are withholding money from our public services. Here, aside from the $9 million, David Bernstein had written an article in the Phoenix that there are up to maybe $400 million that the mayor has squirreled away in different little funds that he's withholding from the general fund.
City Councilor President Mike Ross, do you, any of these arguments persuasive for you?
I promise you we're not hiding money from our citizens. All this information comes out in our Ways and Means hearings. There are many different reasons for why you have accounts that have some funds. A lot of it has to do with our ability to borrow money. I don't think it's the topic of the discussion today to start talking about municipal finance. The real question here is, are people satisfied with the Boston Common? I'm not. I want it better, and I know we'll make it better, and it's in part going to be to the help of volunteers, citizens, and yes, some corporations that we're going to ask for some help from.
I want to bring in another caller. This is Charles from Jamaica Plain. And Charles, what do you think about the idea of corporate sponsorships on the Boston Common?
Well, I just wanted to point out that there's already some corporate sponsorship in the Common right now over in the children's playground. It's dedicated to a gentleman who passed away a number of years ago, but the corporate sponsor is CAD Technical Staffing. And it's a lovely children's playground right over by the Frog Pond, and it seems like that has gone unnoticed, at least in this conversation. And it seems like, you know, further use of corporate sponsorship, we've been saying a tasteful level seems just fine.
Sure. Charles, you know, Mike Ross just passed to me. You may have heard that shuffling paper. He passed to me a photograph of the plaque we think you're talking about. It looks like some kind of metal plaque that's on a fence. It says, "The Tadpole Playground and Inventory of Trees in the Public Garden and Common were made possible by the generosity of the Highland Street Foundation and the McGrath Family 2002. Shirley Kressel, I'm sure you've seen this as well. For you, is even this existing sponsorship inappropriate?
I would like to, stop haggling about the price of the Boston Common and talk about why we're doing this. When Mike was doing the legislation for giving away the facilities, the buildings, the duck house and the fence. There were
20-year lease. It wasn't giving them away.
Well, it will be, I assure you. But I kept asking why, as a counselor, if he had such a burning concern for these buildings, he had not ever brought up some funding to fix them up. And ultimately, we had a chat on City Hall Plaza where Mike admitted that it really wasn't about the money. This is not about a money shortage. So I said, well, what is it about? And he said, because the private businesses will do a nicer job. They will do a better job. It will be nicer in the park.
Have you been to some of the city or state hot dog vendors around? What we're talking about for that little, old men's comfort station is to get a restaurant in that would sell a terrific hamburger.
Well,
or
I'm not
a
opposed.
Wonderful shake.
I'm not opposed to vendors of services and food in the park. But I don't want to give it over to them. I don't think they should claim the park. We should have control, and we should be engaging them as services and amenities to the park.
And that's possibly what could be worked out in weeks and months to come, whether there's any level of control that's appropriate. Thanks to both of you. There's clearly a good discussion here that hopefully we can continue another time.
Right.
Shirley Kressel is a columnist for the South End News and co-founder of the Alliance for Boston Neighborhoods. Mike Ross is president of Boston City Council. Thanks to both of you for coming in the studio.
Thanks.
Listeners, if you're interested in this topic, you should know that the Friends of the Public Garden is hosting a panel discussion later this afternoon on this very issue. It's called Great Parks Equal Vibrant Cities, Keeping Parks Healthy in Hard Times. The panelists include park administrators from as far away as Pittsburgh in California. Also on the panel will be Dan Biederman from Bryant Park in New York, who we mentioned earlier and who's been hired by the Friends of the Public Garden to consult on how to bring in more private revenue to the Common. Former Governor Mike Dukakis will moderate. That's at 4:30 p.m. today in the Rab Auditorium at Boston Public Library. We're about to take a break, but when we come back, you're standing next to a military funeral with a sign in your hand. It reads, "Thank God for Dead Soldiers." What side of the law are you on? Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.